Today we are going to be in chapter 44 of the book of Genesis, and some of you have going to learn a new word because you've not been here. Most of you have heard me say this before, so just bear with the point that some people never heard certain words that come out from the Torah.
Then he commanded the steward of his house, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of a sack. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, with his money for the grain." And he did as Joseph told him. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away with their donkeys. They had gone only a short distance from the city. Now Joseph said to his steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is it not from this that my Lord drinks, and by this that he practices divination? So you have done evil in doing this.'" When he overtook them, he spoke to them these words. They said to him, "Why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing. Behold, the money that we found in the mouths of our sacks we brought back to you from the land of Canaan. Now then, could we steal silver and gold from our Lord's house? Whichever of your servants is found with it shall die, and we also will be my Lord's servants." He said, "Let it be as you say. He who is found with it shall be my servant, and the rest of you shall be innocent." Then each man quickly lowered his sack to the ground, and each man opened his sack, and he searched, beginning with the eldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and every man loaded his donkey, and they returned to the city. When Yehuda and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there. They fell before him to the ground. When Joseph said to them, "What deed is this that you have done? Do you not know that a man like me can indeed practice divination?" Then Yehuda said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, in whose cup the cup has been found. But he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. Only the man in whose cup in whose hand the cup was found shall be my servant. But as for you, go up in peace to your father." Then Yehuda went up to him and said, "O my lord, please let your servant speak a word in my lord's ears, and let not your anger burn against your servant. For you are like Pharaoh himself. My lord asked his servant, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?' And we said to my lord, 'We have a father, an old man, and a young brother, the child of his old age. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him.' We said to my lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die.' Then you said to your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again.' When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my lord. And when our father said, 'Go again, buy us a little food,' we said, 'We cannot go down. If our youngest brother goes with us, then we will go down, for we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' Then your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons. One left me, and I said, "Surely he has been torn to pieces, and I have never seen him again. If you take this one also from me, and harm happens to him, you will bring down my gray hairs in evil to Sheol. Now therefore, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, then, as his life is bound up in the boy's life, as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. For your servant became a pledge of safety for the boy to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father.
Now, before this chapter, we were in the previous chapter, and they had a big banquet, right? He fed his brothers, and he himself set off by the side because he would not eat with his brothers, and the Egyptians did not eat with his brothers because, quote, it's an abomination, end of quote. We went through that word first time it ever showed up is in the Genesis at this particular point in time. Went through it, explained what that word meant. Next. So at this particular point in time, I'm going to say verse 1. And he, Zaphnath-paneah, that's his name. You remember that's his name? Okay. No one knew in Egypt his real name of Joseph, except Pharaoh and a few men. But he had to wear a certain robe. It was the robe of the second most powerful man, literally, on the face of the earth at that point in time. He had final authority. Now, he also was in charge of the what's called the second chariot. And we made a parallel about what that means. And what were the people supposed to do when that second chariot came by? Bow on the knee. Bow before him. Now, it may seem strange, but we've talked about how this is an image or a picture of the Creator himself and his Son. All right? The Father is not going to get up off of his throne and then let his Son sit upon his throne. No, he stays there. Just as Pharaoh is the first one in command, and Zaphnath-paneah always follow the orders of Pharaoh. We read this before, that he swore by the name of Pharaoh. Remember that? We went through that before. Because Pharaoh had the final say-so, therefore Pharaoh backed up anything that Zaphnath-paneah decided to do, whatever it was. So what was he known for? Sorry, what? Interpreting dreams. Because that's the name means. The first part of his name, of Zaphat, which means what? Is a who? The one that hides, or the one that something has been hidden. And the last part of his name means reveal. So something that was hidden was revealed. This is why Pharaoh named him that. Because remember Pharaoh had this dream? Two of them. And he gave him that name because somebody revealed unto Joseph what the meaning of those two dreams were. Remember, it was one about corn and the other one was about cows. Now, when you use the word divine, horrible translation here, doesn't mean deviation. It means with demons, with devils, with spirits. It means with God. And if he communicates with God, or God communicates with him, basically, by and through what's called dreams. Now, we talked about dreams before in the past, right? The dreams that are written in the Bible that God put into the man or the woman, they never forget the detail. I have dreams every single night. I took a nap before I came here. I had a dream. I didn't have the slightest idea what it was. It came and gone as soon as I woke up. But when God gave Joseph the dream, or he gave Pharaoh the dream, or he gave the baker and the winemaker the dream, they remembered it in precise detail. Remember that? Now, Joseph's father also was given dreams. Right? What about this cold stairs or steps going up and down into heaven, meaning that the angels of God were always going to be with him no matter what? And the second dream Jacob had, do you remember what that was? He told his two wives what the second dream was about. Remember, he took off and ran, fled from his father-in-law. You remember that? Remember the thing with the spotted cows, the spotted sheep, spotted things? He told his God told me in a dream to do this. Everybody's tried to do the very same thing again. Never has happened in the history of mankind. However, some people kind of play a little game with it. They say, well, yes, it can happen. But in reality, he says, God told me to do this. So I did it. And God blessed me greater than, in the case of the two wives, your father. So we're at this point now where Joseph is approximately 39 years old or 40 years old. Probably more closer to 40, because 40 is a very, very important number in any kind of prophecy or any kind of statement of things. Now, I find it very fascinating, if it's 40 years old, something was completed in this 40th year. And we'll find out what was completed in this 40th year. But in this story, as we keep going, what is it that stands out that is unusual? I'll guess nothing. Come on, I need your input.
I think the brothers are pleading with him for the baby brother, Benjamin.
We'll get down to that one. That's very, very fascinating. We'll get to that point. Previous chapter, or chapter before, I can't remember which one, who was out there pleading for mercy? What brother was out there pleading for mercy? Reuben! You remember why Reuben was pleading for mercy? He was responsible for the death of, which he really believed was, of Joseph. And he was so bad about it, they told his father, because Simeon now was held back. He told the father, if Simeon dies, take my two sons and kill them. Blood, vengeance is blood, vengeance. And so it's kind of like an atonement in a sense. Of course, that was not going to happen. Jacob was not going to do that because that was his grandkids. Anyway, I find that fascinating. As we keep on going down, I want to pop up a new word for you. I had a hard time. This particular word is shown in the latter part of the book of Genesis, about chapter 40 onward. There's a certain word being used. And I thought, well, that's really strange. And, you know, we talk about this, it's been translated sometimes as grain, translated sometimes as corn, translated as something else. So I said, that's pretty odd. The second verse is very fascinating. This is just a side note, by the way. Just a side note. There's no big thing about it. He says, Zaphaneach now is telling his servant to take his cup, his silver cup, and sacks of the mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. Now I had to say, what on earth is corn and money? Why would you join those two together? Doesn't make sense, right? Money is money, right? It's not corn. Or is it? Well, I had to look that up. Found a very fascinating terminology. Just a side note. It really means something that is broken up. Something that has been fractured. Something that has been crushed. Basically, it means that the grain was already broken in a mill. The hull is gone. It was just down right to the very flour that you would normally use. And I had looked that up and said, that's fascinating. So the value now is the crushed corn or crushed wheat or crushed whatever it was. That was the value. The money was exchanged for that. It's very fascinating to find that out. And it was actually from a mill. We think of the threshing floor, right? Well, this was actually from a mill. So it's already crushed down, all ready for them to be able to use it. Joseph didn't send them home with food they had to mill or smash down. He did it for them. He ordered it for them. I said, that's quite interesting. Now, what is he up to? Why did he tell his servant to put the money back? And why did he tell the servant to give, put the, take his silver cup and put it into the youngest man's sack? What was he up to? What was his plan? I gotta speak again. I missed. Great oppression of evil. Okay, that's an interesting way of putting it. Anybody else have any idea? Oh, sorry, what?
I think it was to see whether, either to keep Benjamin safely with him or to see whether his brothers would stick up for Benjamin.
Yeah, okay. Actually, we'll find out why he did it. This is in this chapter. It's really open. You had a...
Same thing. He's looking for an excuse to keep Benjamin.
Just to keep Benjamin. Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? Yes.
I think he was trying to create a taste of their own medicine.
He was what now?
Giving them a taste of their own medicine.
Okay. Just to, I'm not going to correct anybody's thing. It's how we think about things, right? Ellie.
Like Vicki said, it may have been a test because Joseph was watching what happened. If they had said, well, he's the youngest brother, you take him,
okay.
We're going to go on home to Dad. Joseph would possibly have said, forget the whole batch of them. They're just plain incorrigible. They're evil.
Yes.
I don't want anything to do with them.
One thing I have constantly said from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, it's not about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the brothers, the sons. It's about what? God. What he says, what he thinks, what he institutes, and he doesn't tell people in advance. He just does something, and then we say, oh, afterthought, that was God's move. He says so in this chapter. He didn't realize the dreams he had, he didn't understand them, and then it really happened before him. And he says, oh my. You know? So he was seeing not what Joseph being brilliant in dreams. He's seen the actions of the creator of heaven and earth. The book of Genesis says, God says, in Genesis, the book of Genesis, Bereshit, I told you the very end of the story of mankind from the very beginning. We're coming to the end of the book of Genesis. Now I find it very fascinating as we keep on going. We've got this point where we're at now at the life and times of a man named Joseph. And the story stops. It doesn't continue. The next chapter is Moses, many hundreds of years later, tells us another story, another picture, another plan, not another plan, but the plan of God being exposed or written out and shown into what you find in Genesis is being carried out in Exodus. And be carried out in Numbers. And be carried out in Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Not Ruth. Well, yeah, Ruth in one sense. But it's carried out there. But it's all been revealed in the entire book called Bereshit. I've been telling this from the very beginning, haven't I? I hope I've been able to show you where it really was. I show over and over again how the Messiah is here, Messiah is here, Messiah is here, Messiah is here, Messiah is here. God's doing this, God's doing that, God's doing this, God's doing that. God has shown us example, 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 example of His, God's decision, His and God's actions, His and God's plan. All right? Sometimes it doesn't look like God's fair. And it doesn't look like He's fair in this one, right? Why pick on Joseph? He was 17 years old. Why have him go through all that stuff? Being thrown in prison, accused of stuff. And then all of a sudden now he's the second most powerful man on the face of the earth at age 30. And now we're later on, after a pretty close to the age of 40, I think it is the age of 40, his brothers come down for the second time. Now, you remember the first time he came down, what did Joseph do? He what? He was mean to him. Downright nasty. And Hebrew is downright, man, you don't want to face this guy. He's good. He's as powerful as Pharaoh. If he says you're dead, you're dead. Because Pharaoh gave him that power. To take life, or, as his name reveals, Sophavadeach, to preserve life. He had that authority. Sophavadeach is a very fascinating word. I'm going to go through some of the means. Actually, it's an Egyptian word, not a Hebrew word. And the Egyptian word basically means the savior of the age or savior of the world. Literally in Hebrew. I mean in Egyptian. Doesn't say hidden and it doesn't say revealer. It says the one who saves the world. Quite a title, don't you think? From foreigners. Bunch of foreigners don't know Hebrew. Right? He was revealed to the foreigners before he's revealed to Israel. Egyptians are foreigners. Foreigners are foreigners. I'm using the southern accent, but foreigners. Yeah, you got it right. And when we look at what's going on in the face of earth, how many people are aware now of what Jesus' real name is? Compared to those who don't. The ones that don't are massive. Has God against them? No, He used them. Meaning you came out from that world. And it wasn't because you're smart. It wasn't because you outsmarted yourself. Or your parents were dumb. Or the pastor just turned you off. It's because God drew you out. You didn't draw yourself out. You didn't leave your church. You didn't leave your organization. You didn't leave your belief system. God drew you out to believe Him. And the word is not faith, right? Trust. Both Hebrew and Greek, the word faith means trust. Now, in the Septuagint, very fascinating about His name, spelled quite differently, but also has somewhat that three different definitions of this word. In Greek. I've looked them up, and this one says that, and this one says that, and this one says that, and that one says this. But too many. These are just all interpretations, but they're basically almost the same. And in Septuagint, it says, the one who furnishes and nourishment of life. Zafpadneach. That's Hebrew. But that's not Egyptian, nor is it Greek. It's just being there, and they use those two words, hidden and revealed. Something was hidden, and He revealed it. And in old ancient Egyptian language, it says that Elohim speaks to Sophavadeach, and He saves lives. It's a very fascinating term. Now, if we're talking about just a man, or are we talking about something that God's saying, I have my son He's second in command. I'm the boss. And my son says to all of us, I am greater than my son. I have more power than my son. Same thing with Pharaoh. And the same thing with Joseph. Who had the greatest power? Next chapter, there's a very fascinating thing. We won't get in there today. I'm going to reach the first 2-3 verses in the next chapter. But there's something very fascinating that Joseph said to his brothers when he finally let them know who he was. Very fascinating terminology. So, before I continue, instead of trying to figure out what Joseph was trying to do, what do you think that Elohim was doing? He's what?
He's getting things in position.
For a purpose.
For a purpose.
Well, given how Egypt, where they survive, and put them in the universe where they can multiply.
To get his father down there.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
To get his father down. Okay. That's the goal.
That was God's plan? To get Jacob down there? Oh, to take them out of the land that he promised them.
Yes.
He took them all out. They no longer were in the promised land. Now they're in the land of the Gentiles. Right? What was Jesus called? A Galilean. Do you know what that word means? The land of the Gentiles. Boom. Why wasn't he there in Judah? He wasn't. He was in the land of the Gentiles. That's the word Goyim, I mean, it's what the word Galilean means. That's why when you read the New Testament, an awful lot of it says, what, are you Galilean? And that's an insult. We have to kind of understand how that thinking was during those times. But same kind of process here. Anyway. And, of course, Stuart, is a Zuff of an Aox, Stuart, went along with the whole game, right? Oh, he had a question?
Yes, please. Why did they want to get the whole tribe to Goshen?
I'll get to you there later on in the book of Genesis. It tells us why, but this chapter doesn't bring it. Next chapter will start bringing it in as to the reason for it. Yes. Your wife...
Well, you already see, and God had actually given Abraham a vision or a dream where he does tell him that there's going to come a time when his descendants are going to live in a foreign land.
That's right. We're
just seeing here how that's going to happen. But God already told Abraham that was going to happen at some point.
Now, God's not a big dreamer. He gives dreams, but he's not a big dreamer. He tells the people what he's going to do. That's it. Anyway, let's continue on with this thing. And of course, they overtook and they found out he started with the eldest. And that's interesting. The steward started with the eldest, verse 12, to find out, opened up all these bags. He knew which one he put it in. He was told which one to put it in. And they found out who was the oldest one because the previous chapter, Joseph had them set in the order of the oldest to the youngest. And they were amazed. How would he know that? Yeah. A lot of secrets. And Joseph, right now, is still the hidden one. And he remains hidden until God says, now reveal who you are. And next week, you'll find out what they immediately thought. It was not positive at all. Now, verse 14. Now, the name Judah starts showing up. Remember, it was Reuben before, and it was Simeon, now Judah. Now, God now is sent the men back, buying through the maneuvering that just took place. Now, here is Joseph now, verse 14, and Judah and his brothers came into Zophabaneach's house, for he was not yet gone, and they fell on the ground. And Zophabaneach said unto them, what deed is this that you have done? I'm raising my voice because he was still had to be this powerful image. And you know not that such a man as I can certainly divine. What? What does that mean? God reveals to him what's going on. He knows he can do that. I don't have an answer why the silver cup is involved, but it is. Yes.
That would scare the daylights out of them because they think he can virtually read minds. This guy knows way too much. He knows that you have a father. He knows you have a little brother. Every time you deal with him, you lose, he wins. They think he knows everything. Maybe that they killed their brother.
Yeah, because he did know an awful lot. They knew it. I want to come back to the. Just a thought. Just a thought on Richard Age's brain. Means nothing. But you remember that when the Messiah at the Passover. Now, he used a cup that had wine in it. And he said something to his disciples. Put it in literal language. Drink it. It is my life. It's the New Testament. It's the New Testament. Psalms. Apostle Paul said. Now, did they understand that? No. When did they understand it? Several months, probably 40 days later, they got the picture. Very fascinating, about 40 days. We won't go there today. But nonetheless. Now here he's come. And now they're in trouble. All right? Zophabaneach said unto them, this deed you have done. Okay? You remember the dreams, chapter 37. Genesis 37. Don't have to turn there. You don't want to. That's not important. Because I can read them here. Starting in verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they loved him. I hated him, right? They said, no, wait a minute. Listen to my dream. Hear this dream which I had dreamt. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my chief arose, stood up, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance with my, I can't pronounce that word right, with my sheaf. And his brother said, ha, ha, indeed, you're going to reign over us? Who do you think you are? You have dominion over us? That ain't going to happen. And he despised him all the more. Then he went on, the next one. And of course, he's talking about what's called the sun and the moon and the stars. Oh, they also obeyed him. Obedience. Now, this is where his father said something. He chastised him. You remember that? You mean, because his father understood the meaning of it. You mean to tell me that I and your mother is going to bow down before you? And then the next verse says, and he held this quietly inside of himself. He didn't fully understand the picture, but he stopped the chastising of his son at that moment in time. Something else was going to be told. Something else was going to be revealed to him. That is, to his son. But talk about Messiah here for a moment. While he was on this earth, how much power and authority did he have? And what did he give him? What did he give him? He had the power and authority to do what? And he said, I will not. Why?
Not,
I don't have the authority yet. After the death and resurrection, then he came back and said, now, not before, now, all authority, all jurisdiction, everything is under me now. I have complete control of everything. Here, picture the sun and the moon and the stars. Complete and total authority. But he's still second in command. He's called the Son of God. And next chapter, I'll clarify that just a little bit more, but we're not in the next chapter yet. Because what he said, Joseph said, is a very fascinating phrase, he said. And you'll have to find out next week. I mean, you know me by now, right? Now, in the 16th verse here of Genesis 44, here's Judah now is speaking up again. This is, now he's speaking again, all right? Now, he said something. What will be say to, and I'm sorry, you may not like it, say unto Adonai. That word is my Lord. It's the same thing as Adonai. Most people don't know Adonai is means my Lord. That's all it means. What shall we speak? We can't even clear ourselves. We're found guilty. And he said something very fascinating. It says, some of your translations, and God hath found out. Lousy way of wording it, okay? It's Hach Elohim. Is not finding out, he is revealing our inequity. He's going to show. It's going to be exposed. Remember the Messiah said, what you do in secret will be what? Shouted on the rooftops. Right? Here's the picture of being shouted on the rooftops. And the one man had to do it. And of course, now he's talking to Zephaniah, and it says, this is going to be too much. I can't go back home. I don't have a lad. Verse 18, very fascinating. Now remember, Joseph understood both Hebrew and, of course, Egyptian. And now he wants to talk to Joseph by himself. Well, now he can't speak Egyptian. And Joseph was not about to tell him he understands Hebrew. He probably had an interpreter, probably his servant, who did everything that Zephaniah wanted him to do. So he probably was translating it back and forth as if, you know. Listen to what's very interesting what he's saying. Judah is very much afraid. He's afraid because something's going to be found out. What's going to be found out? The inequities. God's going to reveal to this man, this second most powerful man on the face of the earth, what we did. Now he's confessing. He's confessing to Joseph. And he said, I want to speak to you privately. I'll speak to you in your ear. In other words, no one else will know what we're talking about. So a little, quite a private conversation here. No one else heard the conversation. What do you think he said? Fascinating words. Okay. It's famous that Judah has to repent first. Remember the prophecy? We know 10 goyims will hang on to the tzitzit of a Jew because God is with them. But they have to repent, bitterly repent of their inequity. And now he is going to talk. And once that happens, he's going to see something, we should see something extremely awesome. Because this is still Sophoneach, second most powerful man on the face of the earth. He can choose life or death. He can choose you live or you die. Because what did Judah say? He says there, latter part, and let not thy anger burn against thy servant, for you are as Pharaoh. You're as strong and as mighty and as powerful as Pharaoh himself. Nothing will be held back from you. Pharaoh will back you up no matter what you do. And I know you're going to be angry. Please, don't be angry. Because you're sitting tired of him raising his voice. He terrified them when he came down the first time, remember? He put one of them in prison and threatened them. Remember, it was 3 days later, he let them go. Fascinating terminology. Anyway, nonetheless, we're coming here. And he said in these words, it would appear that this really was a 100% private conversation. Because it was in your ear means I'm going to not whisper things. It's just between you and me. All right? And of course, he's going on. He says, Adonai, verse 9, ask your servant, meaning the sons of Jacob, do you have a father? Do you have a brother? And we said, yes. Now remember when we first went through that thing? Don't you think very strange that this most second powerful man on the face of the earth was questioning whether or not they had a father and a brother? They just came down to buy some stuff to go back home and to live. To their great surprise, they didn't question that. They just answered his questions. Had no idea what God had in mind. Not what Joseph had in mind, but what God had in mind. We'll get there. Not today. I'm trying to keep my time down. Anyway, the story goes on. Go down to verse 27. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two. That's fascinating. Who is his wife? Rachel. But Rachel is not buried in the tomb. Leah is. And later on we find that Jacob was buried in the very same tomb that Leah was buried into. Not where Rachel was buried. Because you know this has to do with the story of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, let's put it a different way. It has to do with the God of Sarah, the God of Rebekah, and the God of Leah. One was left out for a reason. We won't go there today because it's going to go in a circle. And of course, as you know, if he dies. Now, this is something that Joseph now for the first time heard something. Previously, they said, Reuben said he's dead. And here, Joseph's dead. No, I'm not dead. I'm still alive. I know who bound me. It was Simeon. I knew who sold me. It was Judah. I know Reuben. I didn't know you were out there to try to save my life, give me back. I had no idea. He learned that after the fact, not before. Now he says, he's quoting his father, verse 28, and one went out from me. Another translation, one departed. And I said, surely he is torn in pieces. I find that fascinating. And I saw him not since. Torn in pieces. Why was that so important? There were no bones found. Only thing was found was a robe. All right. How many robes did Joseph wear? The first one that his father made, destroyed. The second one was the who?
Potiphar's house.
Potiphar's house. And the robe was taken and never worn again. The third one is the one that Pharaoh gave. One, two, three. Now what? One robe was death. What was the second one? In prison, in the grave. Not able to get out for 3 years. From the first time they had a dream. The last one, most powerful man on the face of the earth. Now, don't you see the Messiah in that picture? See, what I'm trying to show you, what I'm trying to explain to you, what God says in the beginning, I told you the end. Now, we're at the end of, coming to the end of the book of Genesis, and it ends extremely positive. It ends with the very up things, and even the brothers had a hard time believing it, but nonetheless, it really took place. See, Joseph knew that it was Judah who sold him. Judah wanted to kill him, remember? But instead, he just wanted to sell him. Change of mind. Can't make any money off that one. You can't get money out of a dead man. And then he said, verse 32. We went through this last week. If you remember correctly. And he said, for thy servant became surety for the lad, for Benjamin, that if I don't bring him back, I will have something I'll wear for the rest of my entire life. What's he going to wear? A blame. Never, ever to be forgiven. Never, ever. Sorry, what? His own family, his own tribe, rejected him. But not all of them. All right. But you have to understand this thing. I'll bear the blame. I don't want to label this on the Jewish people because of what took place during the time of the Messiah. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's very fascinating that Judah is a picture of the house of Judah. They are going to be freed from any blame. That's what's going to happen. And the next chapter leads into it really fast. All right. So he says, let me be the bondman. Let me carry it. Let me be the blame. Let me hold it. I'll be your slave. And let the rest of them go home. And, of course, I'm breaking into the first three verses of the next chapter. This is Old English, by the way. We'll get back to the next chapter next week. Luke chapter 3, 5. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried out. This had been in Hebrew, I mean Greek, for them to do it. Cause every man to get out from me. And there stood no man with him, no interpreter. They were interpreting from Hebrew into Egyptian, and Egyptian back into Hebrew. Now remember, these two guys just talking privately. There had to be others there to translate it back and forth. He ordered them, get out of here. Now, since he's the second most powerful man on the face of the earth, you better go moving. And they did. But, you know, what happened? And he went and cried aloud. Now, it's very fascinating, verse 2. The Egyptians, of the house of Pharaoh, heard about this. Most powerful man on the face of the earth heard about this. What do you think he's going to do? Well, we'll find out. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father, is he still alive? And his brothers answered him, right? They couldn't. Now, he had spoken in Hebrew in this particular case. And it says, for they were troubled at his presence. We'll talk about that next week. So stay tuned. Any comments? Any thoughts? Oh, I have to get room for my son to do his talking. Now, do you find something interesting so far? It's the story not yet finished, but yet it does tell you the end of the story at the end of Genesis. What God is doing, had planned to do, and is accomplishing. The book of Genesis is Devarim Elohim. You know what that word means? Words of God. Yes?
Richard, I don't find the Bible to be Old Testament, New Testament. I find the Bible to be like this, just intertwined. It's awesome.
What part of Devarim Elohim should we reject? Messiah said, you live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Genesis, a powerful, powerful, I think it's the best book that tells us about everything under the sun is there. And which word do we say we don't want to hear? I don't like that story. I don't like, this is a story about Noah. It's just a story about Garden of Eden. Fictitious, 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 fictitious. Never really happened. Man, it's like calling God a liar.
I have never read the Bible at home like I'm reading it now. Ellie suggested the prophets. I read the first six lines of Hosea last night, and I was amazed.
Yes, yes.
I've never read that before.
There's so much in the prophets, but you can't even cover them all. Daniel's trying to do his very best.